Hello, my name is Babelito.
And I'm Favi Fav, and we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
no me lleven a la cárcel por un crimen que yo no cometí.
What the fuck?
An 80s soap opera realness.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You brought amazing food, and I want you to tell me what it is.
Well, you know I like to eat, and I love to eat Chinese food. And this is, we got some poached Chinese chicken. It's usually served lukewarm with a beautiful, beautiful bit of rice there.
And a garnish of...
Oh, yeah. Green stuff. But most importantly, they give you the broth to dip it in.
I'm going to try this
traditional.
Right now.
Hainan, I think it's called, the chicken. Mm-hmm. And I got chicken tenders over here. I mean, same idea, but just fried.
Damn. This is like caldo de pollo, but I don't know, better.
Oh my god. I got some Chinese sausage over here too, if you want some.
I was so hungry because I had a crazy day in school.
What happened?
Okay, I'm gonna talk about
it. Tell me about it.
So, I asked my students to watch this movie with Gael Garcia, right?
Mm-hmm. What's the movie?
The movie's called Even the Rain. And the movie, it's about these filmmakers that are going to Bolivia to film a movie about the conquest of Mexico, the conquistadores arriving to the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
One of the first lines of the movie is, well, why are we here in Bolivia when indigenous people in the Caribbean are different people? And the director is like, they're all brown, they look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the movie starts talking about how they use indigenous labor for the movie, repeating the same colonial circles of violence from a long time ago. But also, this particular town in Bolivia has a lot of problems with regards to availability of water
uh-huh.
for these indigenous communities. So it becomes like this retrospect thing about, okay, so if we wanted to raise awareness about the colonial period and now we're just doing the same thing. The director is an asshole and everybody else in the movie gets like the white guilt. And at the end, of course, there's like, I don't want to give up the whole movie, but at the end, there's a little bit of that white savior type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my students, because I did not go to class. On Monday, I told them to look at that movie because there's certain issues about that movie that we talk about it in class. And we got into this whole discussion about ideas of what is white and what whiteness means.
Yeah.
And a student raised an issue about how she found it problematic that we always speak about or complain about white people. Like, we need to do something about it and just complain about white people and how we generalize it. So almost like trying to victimize this idea of whiteness.
Excuse me?
Exactly. In a class where we talk about colonial issues. I've reassured her that my intention is never, and that's not the point, of generalize anything, because when we speak about whiteness in a colonial context, we refer to something. When we talk about it in the movie, it's something else. But she went on, or he went on and on about it, and I need to be politically correct, led the discussion.
What was this person
open.
Saying about whiteness?
Just basically how, why do we always complain about white people, and why do we always have to make them be the villains when the past is the past? Like, that's one of the phrases that the student used.
The past is the past.
Oh my god, don't even
excuse
get me started.
Me?
It was
the past is the present.
It was so hard. It was so hard not to lose it, to keep it together and just say, I mean, just being here is a very, very privileged thing. Just learning about it, it's a very privileged thing. So I had to remind them about their position and about their responsibility and how we just need to talk about this thing.
Okay,
if it sounds like we're complaining, that's what she's saying. We just complain, we don't do anything. But, or he was saying.
You already said she, fool. So, God. If you weren't a professor, what would you have said?
Oh
like
my God.
Like, if you didn't have boundaries.
Well, I unfortunately have a lot of boundaries, but I would have just gone off and just...
Okay, let's hear a little bit. What would
Well, the problem is, first of all, yes, we do need to be specific about what whiteness are we talking about in one context, because we cannot just keep saying white people, like everybody is evil. But I did remind her, for example, that just because you're born with a specific fairness of color in Latin America, then you automatically have a lot more privilege that the rest of the population doesn't have. And that is one of the main points that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
And we also show this commercial that was very controversial in December of Coca-Cola, of this preppy fresas from Mexico City going into this town where the Miches are in Oaxaca, an indigenous community, and they want to save the world by bringing soda, when like the town also has all this water and colonial problems.
Yeah.
And that's when she said, that's when she got off and she's like, oh no, 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 why are we always complaining about this? I don't know, like I was speechless, but at the same time I wanted to bring it back into the context of the class so I wouldn't get in problem. And then towards the end she said, well, I want to think things are better because we have a black president, right? Oh, and then she said, oh, and then we're about to elect a white, she didn't say white, she said a female president.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
So I think I lost all of my energy trying to be politically correct, not get into a discussion with a student, because I don't know if it's against the laws of the school. I just need to put it in the context of the class.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm very hungry and I have a little bit of a headache, and I'm very happy for your, what is it called? Hanan chicken?
Yeah.
Yes.
This chicken is the bomb. Chicken, the universal food.
Anyway, so I needed to let it out. Mm-hmm. And now that it's out, we can go on and talk about the matter that brought us here today.
Well, speaking of white people, I really want to talk about RuPaul today and RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. RuPaul's not white, but... sometimes she plays with that, which is very important in her drag career. RuPaul, very influential in the gay community.
First of all,
yeah,
tell us a little bit more about what RuPaul does and what RuPaul's Drag Race is for those of...
Excuse me, I'm getting there.
Okay, go ahead.
Jesus. So, RuPaul... the most famous drag queen in the world. People say one of the best drag queens in the world. Who else?
Yeah.
Like, she is...
you're right.
...the drag queen. So, in the 80s, she was in New York, 90s. She became the supermodel of the world. That was her first big character.
Oh, yeah.
Became a drag sensation, a recording artist. So, I think it was over 20 years ago that the song Cover Girl was a hit, right? So RuPaul had a few characters. Star Booty was another one, which was more like of a, you know, goodwill, like...
see, I didn't know that.
...hooker. And then she kind of evolved into this supermodel character.
Okay.
So now she has a show on TV called RuPaul's Drag Race. I think they're on the 8th season now.
That's crazy.
And it's a really interesting show because... it, you know, drag is a parody, right? Like, drag, you're playing a gender, right? A male is, is changing their identity or playing with it with the notion of identity.
Remind me to talk about nuns before I come back to it.
Okay. Anyways, so it's a parody, right? So, and most drag queens, you know, they lip sync songs. Some of them, like Jackie Beat, will write songs, Lady Bunny, mm-hmm. and... this show is just making fun of other reality shows. That's the way I see it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mix of America's Next Top Model and
Project Runway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like those makeup shows. So a lot of the times, you know, they start off with 12 to 14 queens and they have to compete, you know, making their own costumes. Sometimes they always have to do makeup. And every week it's a different challenge, right? Singing, comedy, they have to do choreography. It just depends on the episode. Female impersonation, celebrity impersonation. It just depends on the episode.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love the show because there really isn't anything, or when it first started, there really wasn't anything like it on TV. And I thought I would be sick of it by now. I mean, seventh season wasn't the best, no shade. But it is, this season amazing. 8 is amazing.
It's so
and
good.
I don't know when this is going to come out, but I don't know if we'll know the top three or the winner by then.
Mm.
But everybody's so good in this season.
I can't wait. Okay, so first of all, how do you got in? I'm very curious because when I met you, I was into this show. I was into drag queens, Favi took me to another level. Like, it really became this cultural thing, learning about drag queens. So I want to know what got you into them, or how do you get into drag queens, given your very, like, religious upbringing in Las Vegas. So I think that's very important before really getting into the show.
How did I get into drag queens?
Yeah, like, do you remember the first time you saw one and you're like, oh my God. Or,
you know what's funny is growing up, I didn't realize RuPaul was a man. I always thought he was like a clown. That's like, she funny. Was a clown, like just this big character. Mm-hmm. I never really thought she was a dude. Even, you know that movie, you know, To Wong Fu, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is very interesting because the drag queens never get out of drag. Like, they play women the entire movie.
The entire movie.
Except for the very beginning when they're getting ready. So, it's very interesting.
And that was what year?
In the 90s. I don't remember when.
Okay.
But, I got into drag. You know why I got into drag? Because I went to college. College is very important. Everybody go to college, read books, because it really opens up, you know, your mind.
Yes, education.
And there was this grad student that went there. His name's Aaron Shepherd. He's from New York, originally from the South. Mm-hmm. And then he went to grad school there. And he had several drag characters he did. And one of them was Sissy Hamstack. And the other one was Barbecue. And I thought he was such an interesting person. Because, like, his normal drag, like his boy drag, his everyday look, was like 80s rock star, like long hair and always has eyeliner. He's one of my best friends now because I ended up moving in to this big kind of party house at the time, and he was one of my roommates.
Okay.
There was like five of us living in that house. And
so seeing him in drag was your first introduction to
that him? Was my first introduction. Oh, my first introduction That's to drag good. Was we put on a variety show at a casino in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like the game show host because I really like TV and game shows. And he was my co-host drag queen. Like, he was a drag queen co-host, Sissy Hamstack. So,
oh my God. I wish I would have seen that.
It was awful, but we had a lot of fun. It was super fun. It was a mess, but it was fun. So then so then that's around the same time Drag Race came out, and I was just very accepting of my friend, and I was learning a lot of different things from him and about the culture, and he's kind of an oddball because he's not 100% gay.
Mm-hmm.
He's his own thing. His own thing.
Yes, let's just leave it like
that. He's usually into ladies, but you know.
Yes.
Sometimes not.
Giving the deets.
I'm giving all the details out. But then Drag Race came out, and I remember I was at art school at the time, and the first season came out. And I remember I wouldn't watch it with anybody else. I would secretly watch it by myself, like in the computer lab at school, because I didn't have internet at home. Oh, and I thought, oh my God, this is the best fucking show ever. It was the first season with Pork Chop. Hey, Pork Chop! And Nina.
Wasn't she the first one eliminated?
Yeah, pobrecita. Pork Chop. Who else was there? Nina Flower. Chanel. She's from Las Vegas.
And then this exotic lady, what's her name? That she plays herself is very exotic. The one who won.
Bibi Zahara Benet.
I have my problems, but she's fabulous.
Yes. But a lot of Latina representation, too, in RuPaul's Drag Race. There's always usually a Latina queen. but usually from Puerto Rico, which is very interesting. And
which in a way is unprecedented, because even in this reality shows, I remember there's a token gay, there's a token black, and maybe if we're lucky enough, we get the token Latino. But RuPaul was completely different. It was more of everything, from what I remember.
Yeah, I think that show is very important, and it's opened a lot of doors. Like, to see drag, this underground culture, on television, it's very weird. And but this was before, you know, when the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race came out. What was that? I don't know.
So long time ago.
So long, yeah, 8 years ago. You know, now there's like so many shows on television, and you know, trans issues are a big thing right now, and you know, it's a big issue in the media, especially with, you know.
And you know what's interesting? Before that, the only really good big gay show that was mainstream. I mean, there's certain ones that tried. Will and Grace being one of them. But still, it's a very heteronormative couple, even though one is gay and one is not. You have the Ellen Show. That was probably... But in terms of that type of show, it was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. The only show... Like, that was what we had as...
Yeah.
But they were all white dudes.
They were... Well, one of them was a little brown. The little one. I don't remember his name.
That's right. Yeah. I
remember. But they were all super, like, flamboyant gays. Most of them.
Yeah, the stereotype.
Except for the cook, right?
Yes.
And then... it just kind of grossed me out watching that show.
I hated that show.
My people? Is this my identity? Is this how I have to be to be accepted? Oh, okay. I think one of the big issues with Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is that issue of, like, having that one type of gay that's like, oh my god, let's go shopping, like, I'm your best friend,
I have good taste,
I'm an accessory, you can sell things to me, right? So when people are like, oh, okay, we can make money off of these gay people,
they're not threatening either,
and they're not threatening, right? Yes. They're always doing a job that's serving heterosexual people,
yes,
or other gay people. They're never
white heterosexual people.
Yes, it's never threatening the norm.
Correct.
Yeah. And So yeah, to see a show like this is very refreshing, even though, you know, we live in the era of Tumblr and social consciousness and political correctness, so there's been some things that have changed on RuPaul's Drag Race over the years. For example...
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Whenever
about
they
that.
Would get a video message from RuPaul at the beginning of the show, it used to go, ooh, girl, you got shemale, right?
I remember.
And shemale... is now a derogatory term. Well, probably always has been, right? It was a pun, right? Like male, like Tyra male, when the models used to get mail from Tyra. But it was she-male. She-male, you know, calling a trans person she-male,
it's very
trans woman, it's problematic because that equates it to sex worker, porn, fetish, not a real person. An object.
Correct.
Which was offensive, and they realized it, and they changed that on the show.
How many seasons it took?
I think it was like the fifth season.
Which is interesting, because it does show the development of social media as this attempt for social consciousness. I wouldn't say the era of social consciousness, but an attempt to really bring those conversations into social media. But it really took for Twitter and Facebook to really go on. So it's interesting that it wasn't in the first or second season. It was... a fifth.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But then also saying that the Latinas that have been on the show, most of them are Puerto Rican. And a lot of people have asked me, like, why do you think they're all Puerto Rican? Well, from a few interviews that I've heard, Michelle Visage recently on, she was actually on Latino USA.
Oh, really?
Saying that the drag culture in Puerto Rico is huge, and RuPaul came from New York, and there's a lot of Puerto Rican queens.
That's a big Caribbean presence.
Yeah, in New York, and Michelle Visage said that when she was first in that underground ball scene back in the day, that most of the queens that she knew were actually Puerto Rican.
Yeah. Interesting.
And she hung around mostly Puerto Ricans. They used to, you know why her name is Michelle Visage?
No.
Girl. Because,
please.
Okay, because she was like a voguer back in the day, and she's always had this like fierce face, right? So I used to call her Cara. That was her nickname. Yeah.
Interesting.
Cara Visage, right? So it's the same. So she changed her name to Michelle Visage because people kept calling her Cara.
Micaela Cara.
Micaela Cara.
I like that better.
Oh my gosh. So I'm not bothered that there's always a Puerto Rican queen on the show, because there's a huge Puerto Rican presence on the East Coast and in Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States.
Yes.
So it's awesome. Yeah. And there has been some amazing queens from Puerto Rico. And going through before the show, I went through all the seasons to find all the Latina queens Latinas that queens that identify as Latinas.
Latino or Chicana.
Yes, and every season has a few of them, except for season 2, only has one, Jessica Wilde.
Okay.
But wouldn't it be fun? Let's go through each season.
Okay.
And talk about the queens.
Okay, season 1, you had Nina Flowers.
Yes.
Puerto Rican, she's one of the fiercest of all of them.
Oh my God. She was also on All Stars.
With a mohawk, and it's just, oof.
Yes, very, very amazing. Alternative. the alt queen of the season.
So you have Nina Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Rebecca Glasscock.
I remember her.
She was Puerto Rican, I think. And she was like very L.A. for some reason. Like, I could see that she was in, like, movies and
Medio
or TV
fresa,
shows.
No?
Medio Fresa, yeah. Like, and then we had Jade. Remember Jade Sotomayor?
No me acuerdo, güey.
Oh, my God. You don't remember her? Mm-hmm. Oh, my. I think she's from Chicago. She is amazing. And then, you know what? I thought Tammy Brown was Latina, but I was on her website. Because she speaks Spanish, okay. Tammy Brown.
Is it good Spanish, or is it just...
It's good, yeah. Oh,
wow.
And I found out that he lived in... Tammy Brown lived in Guadalajara for like 9 years when she was a kid.
Oh, that's why her...
Yeah, but I don't know.
She never
identifies as a Latina.
That was nothing to me that read Latina.
And she has a song called Love Piñata.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
She identifies as American, and that's okay.
As a continental.
Continental.
That's a good term.
Yeah, but Tammy Brown, she's got to be one of my favorites because she's so fucking weird.
She is.
Like
her personality, and I just, I need to rewatch the first season, but I just remember thinking, I like her because she was different, but yeah, she was weird.
Yeah, and she's on All Stars also. I don't think you've seen it because you're not a true fan. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But she would say the craziest shit in the Untucked and the behind-the-scenes show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw an interview that she said that because she didn't want the editors to be able to make drama out of the shit she said. Mm-hmm. So she would just say crazy things. To just instead of fighting with the girls, so she was like, teleport them to Mars and just saying crazy shit for no reason.
And which they love too, I'm sure the producers,
sure, yeah. So that shit got in the show,
okay.
Season 2,
okay,
which was an amazing season.
Yes, that's when I started. That's when I started watching RuPaul. Season 2
was Jessica Wilde. From Puerto Rico. She's like, I love this drink. When they were doing, when Absolute Vodka was the was the sponsor of the show. Berry, acai.
I remember that.
Oh my gosh. And she's still, I saw her perform live here in Las Vegas. And she's still, that's like, she still says that. It was hilarious. That was like her thing.
So you had Jessica Wilde and...
I think that's it on season 2.
That's it?
Yeah, that was a season with Raven, with Jujubee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jujubee
and Raven. Jujubee, oh my God.
I need to watch that All Stars. I don't know why I haven't watched it.
Some of the best lip syncs. for Jujubee.
And but also in that All Stars, right?
Oh yeah, they were on All Stars too. They were Jujubee. They were a team.
Yes.
Raven's Paint. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She's an artist, a real artist. Okay, let's move to season three.
Okay.
This one was packed full of Latinas. Season three was representing. We had Alexis Mateo.
Yes.
Bam! She's Puerto Rican. The beautiful, the body beautiful, Carmen Carrera.
And she's trans, right?
She's trans. She's a woman now, okay. Yeah.
She came out in the show, if I remember
correctly. She didn't come out in the show. She came out after the show.
Okay.
Yeah. So Carmen Carrera, she's Puerto Rican and Peruvian, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, but she's just from Jersey. That's yeah. I'm from Jersey in the show. And then Delta Work, she's actually Mexican.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
I've seen her with Chola makeup on. She is definitely Mexican.
I'm dying. I can't. She's, I didn't know
she's
that.
She's amazing. Yeah. Delta Work.
She did. Oh, but what? Well, okay.
Keep going. Have you seen her without a wig on?
No.
She looks like my, you know, my tio Niva, you know? Like she. Yeah, I'm serious. And Yara Sofia, of
yes,
course.
Yes, Sofia.
Yeah, shout out to Yara. I think she lives here in Las Vegas. I've seen her a couple times out and about.
I
recognized her one time at a casino. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, no. Like, the look of dread in her face when she saw me coming.
Cabrón,
I was like, I just want a picture. She was like, okay. But yeah, echa pa'lante. That was her tagline.
Yeah, I remember. Echa pa'lante.
Yeah. All right, season four,
mm-hmm.
We had Alisa Summers. She's Cuban. She only lasted one episode.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, okay, next. Then we had Madame Laqueer. She's Puerto Rican.
Also?
And Kenya Michaels, Puerto Rican.
Yes, Kenya Michaels, I remember. And wow, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans.
A lot. Of Puerto Ricans.
Awesome. Okay.
Kenya Michaels was tiny. Kenya Michaels, is also trans. I think she's a lady now.
I don't remember.
You don't remember Kenya Michaels?
Mm-mm.
Remember when they were when they did the skit and she was like,
well, you should see.
She was like,
Bobby's face
shut the fuck up.
Illuminate.
She was like, remember, I like the smell. Remember when they were doing when she was playing a lesbian prison guard in the skit.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
she's
yes.
Like, she would clap her hands. She's
little,
like,
little
yeah,
one.
She's like, I like this smell.
And oh, just, my God. It was so bad. I remember it. Yes,
she's like, Jesus is a biscuit.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's season.
That was season four.
Okay. That's when I stopped watching it.
What's wrong with you?
Espérate.
Okay.
And then. It's funny because my favorite queen is from season four.
Who?
Alisa Edwards.
Is she on season four?
Yeah, no? Yes.
Don't...
I'm pretty sure she's on season four.
Dude, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. She's from season four. Anyway. But I had to come back and watch it. I think I watched the whole thing recently in Puebla.
That's no, Alisa's on season five.
Oh, then that's the
that's season that's Alaska's
the season
on,
that
right?
I skipped. Yes. Even though that's probably my favorite season five. Anyway, so that's season four. Now season five, we have...
Roxy Andrews.
Yes.
She's...
Beautiful.
Cuban and Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Beverly Hills.
Oh.
Which I had no idea, but I saw her in an interview recently. She was at one of the premieres for RuPaul season eight.
Puerto Riqueña también.
Puerto Rican. And remember our art school favorite, Serena Chacha?
the
one that
the
we're
self-proclaimed what art school queen or
soft
something?
Sculpture queen. Que mamada. She was Panamanian. She is Panamanian. And then Lanesha Sparks. Mm-hmm. Remember Lanesha?
Yes.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she's Puerto Rican.
So then the selection goes. So RuPaul is the one who selects all these Puerto Rican queens, or you think it's the whole production team looking for?
You know, I don't know.
The juice.
I don't know how it's done. I have a feeling there's a big production team,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just RuPaul. But I think she has a lot of, you know, it's her show.
Yeah,
it's her show.
It's her name. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was on season five, right? I wish we would have counted them to see how many we have. But anyway.
Season six is Bianca Del Rio. She's Cuban and Hondureña. Adore Delano.
Oh.
She's Mexican, Chillona. Native American, and German.
Sácatela, da muchas como Frida Kahlo.
She's Frida. She's the modern day Frida. Oh my God.
Pero Frida no lloraba y esta está tal.
Esta pinche chillona. Ay, adore.
Te pasas. But anyway, I love her. And out of all the Queen's music, out of all the Queen's music, she's my favorite.
The music? Mm-hmm. Well, because she can sing.
And it's like really produced, well put together music. Like it's not the typical type of music.
Yeah, but it's also really slow. And I don't know. And her whatever.
She's dramatic.
That's she's dramatic, and all her fucking videos are in slow motion, which is kind of whatever, but they look beautiful, but they're all like the first 5 minutes of Lemonade.
Okay, speaking of that season, we went to the coronation party that took place here in Las Vegas, and that night is when I finally got it. Like,
wait, we're not done with season 6.
Oh,
my favorite queen is also from there, April Carrion from Puerto Rico. She's also on that season.
I forgot that she was on that show. Oh,
I love her so much.
I know you do. But for different reasons. And we saw all of those queens.
Yep.
In that party. And that, they felt bigger than life to me. I've seen drag queens singing 1-2 songs. Like, I remember seeing one show.
Was that your first drag show?
Like a real produced, like really a drag show was that. Because I've seen drag queens. No, that's not true. We saw La Cataraita en Juárez, who's like the most offensive, craziest, funniest drag queen in Ciudad Juárez. I think she moved to Dallas or California. That was my first drag show, but it was like a big quinceañera. The whole thing was, it was a mess, but it was wonderful. So, but again, I will sit down, have my beer, go with my cousins, watch the show, and that's it.
Yeah.
They will do Nurka. Nurka was like the big, probably still is, the big thing in drag shows in Mexico. But after seeing the queens from RuPaul in that drag party, like I became obsessed.
Yeah, so they had a huge reveal like finale party in Las Vegas. Correct. At the Tropicana.
That's where they crowned.
And that's where Bianca. They crowned Bianca live.
You remember that white dress?
Yeah, the Evita dress.
Like wedding. Oof. That was
beautiful. Yeah, we were at that thing. Yes. I remember Lance Bass from NSYNC was there and I kept following him around. Yes.
Onto the VIP area, you're like, let me take a picture.
We snuck into the VIP and I just kept photobombing Lance Bass.
That's funny.
Oh, God.
But yeah, that was that night.
Darian Lake was there. That was awesome. She was so nice.
Yes, and she was a great performer.
Amazing.
She was amazing. Amazing. I hated that she dressed like an elephant. Like,
excuse me?
She had an elephant.
I know. That was amazing. I thought it was beautiful.
Anyway.
With the tusk earrings.
Y la trompota volando. No.
It was great.
Okay. So, yes, that night, that's when everything made sense. Okay, before I talk about my idea, my views on RuPaul, season 7.
Season 7, this one only had one queen, Candy Ho. Remember she left her, I think she left like third episode.
Si no me dices, no me acuerdo.
Okay, let's fast forward to this current season 8. Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Cuckoo, Puerto Rican. And Naysha Lopez, also Puerto Rican.
Naysha Lopez.
Yeah, remember Naysha? She came back. Yes. They like vote. She got off and they voted her off. Anyway, she came back.
So only those two?
I know. I wanted Thorgy to be Latina, but she's so white.
Oh, with
like
those
with those dreads. White. There's nothing worse than white dreads. But I do love her. I love her. You don't like her?
No, I love Thorgy her. Thor? I thought she was. Well, so far from what we know, she didn't win. And I thought she was a winner. As soon as I saw the first episode,
her energy.
When she did Frida, even though. Anyway, I loved her. I was like, she's a star. Like, that's it. But. Yo no sé qué pasó. I don't get it.
She was too in her head. She didn't show her vulnerability. That was kind of.
¿Qué dijo? ¿Qué decía? She was a perfectionist.
Oh, she's like a perfectionist.
Me la.
Oh, poor Thorgy. But poor Thorgy. She's amazing. She's gonna make. She's.
Yeah, she's probably. There's always.
She's that probably Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, there's always that queen that makes it bigger than the main one, and I think
Thorgy, like last season. Who won last season? I don't even fucking remember.
I don't remember either.
Who Some was it?
Skinny lady.
Oh, Violet Chachki.
Yes. And Pearl.
But you know who was the real winner of last season? Katya.
Yes, Katya's the
one.
Oh,
my God.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So, Thorgy is the Katya of this season.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Doesn't she play like a Russian character? Like a Russian prostitute character? Katya?
Yes.
Oh, I'm dying. Anyway,
I was going to try to say her real name, but I don't remember it. It's like Katarina Zimirkinokovich. I can't say it.
I wouldn't even.
So, yeah, let's talk. You know what? Let's talk about that Frida episode, which was very interesting. That guy, that singer-songwriter, A.B. Soto, was one of the judges, right? Was on the first part of the episode.
And he has this famous song called Cha-Cha Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so, it's this. There's two things. I'm gonna say two things: a good thing and a bad thing about A.B. Soto.
What?
He reverses the role models of machismo. He puts it. He brings them upside down. Mm-hmm. So he wears a full-on norteño dress, but it's fucking pink sequins. Like that to me is amazing. Okay. So he's using all this very hyper masculine machista. Way of looking of ranchero singers and mariachi, symbols of popular music culture in Mexico, and just makes them the gayest possible thing. So that's amazing. But then when it comes to the lyrics and the music, it's so basic and full of stereotypes, and it's just like cha-cha bitch. First of all, it's cha-cha-cha. Let's start with that. And second of all,
let it have it.
Again, it's like, it's just, it seems like he's playing this or this exotic character. I mean, I know he performed in Japan and everything, so it's almost like this is a sort of fascination that people from other parts of the world might have about, like, a Latino gay people, you know? And it's just, I don't know. I know it's fun and it's a form of art and this and that. But it just seems so basic to me. With all that imagination to make all those costumes just so bright and beautiful and on your face, fuck you machismo, you will think that it will be more interesting. Pero no, me aburre. So he comes into the episode and they're supposed to do one of the first challenges to lip sync out of his song. And then what happens?
And dance. But wait, let's go back.
Okay.
Let's go back to A.B. because A.B. Soto.
What do you think? Do you like him?
I've only seen a couple of his videos, and that's all you... To me, you're right. That's all you need to... You see a couple of them, and it's done.
Yes.
Right? It's not that complex.
Yeah. Aesthetically, they're...
Aesthetically, they're beautiful, right? But do you think that maybe why he's not challenging enough is because he's just trying to get in? To the YouTube world.
I mean, we can give him the benefit of the doubt, but, I mean, he's remained like that for the past, 2 years now? I've heard of him, like, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And he's still singing that damn cha-cha song.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Maybe he's just like, you know, he's just like you said, like Queer Eye, right? Non-threatening.
Yeah, he
doesn't want to threaten any.
Non-threatening.
Yeah.
If somebody who doesn't know anything or doesn't expect anything about a Mexican gay guy, like, that's what they want to see. That's the fantasy that some people might see. Again, I appreciate a lot of the things that he does, but at the end, it's just, it's another Frida. It's another exotic thing to me that people have been selling since 1521.
Okay.
Okay, so talk about that episode, or let's talk about that episode.
In that episode, they made everybody dance and lip sync, not even lip sync to Cha-Cha Bitch. They just wanted to see everybody dance. And remember that Kimchi, for example. Kimchi is an amazing artist, like a makeup artist, just a visual artist. I think that her drag is really art. It's amazing.
But didn't she have maracas?
No, she couldn't dance. Pobrecita, güey. No tenía nada de ritmo. But Thorgy Thor, she came out in this busted Frida drag.
Oh, that was
funny. And like had an epileptic seizure kind of thing, which was really hilarious.
That's the thing I remember the most about that whole thing.
RuPaul was like, hashtag Frida realness.
But it's almost like other queens also try to do that.
Yeah.
But the only one that really came across as Frida was Thorgy, she made it so funny. Anyway, so...
So tying that into AB, right? So AB is like this... using masculine symbols, but, you know, making them pink. So now it's girly, and it has glitter on it.
Yeah, norteño music, which is like, it's like gangster rap. That's what it is. And a lot of corridos.
They do wear very tight outfits, though.
Where? Oh, yeah.
Los norteños.
I know.
So, I mean...
Yeah, those skinny pants.
I mean...
Yeah, but no lentejuela rosa, I mean...
Purple.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw a lot of purple.
Oh my
god. Skinny jeans in Puebla.
We're gonna, for 1 year for Halloween, we're gonna be Los Temebroncos del Norte. We're gonna mix.
It's gonna be awesome.
Oh gosh. We need to get our mullets.
It's okay.
Okay. So we were talking about, so it's a great representation of Latinas in RuPaul. I mean, one out of 12, 14 queens sometimes. Maybe not the best, but
given his record, that's better than just giving us the token Latino, which at this point, I'll take a token Latino, you know, I don't care.
Oof, really?
Well, because we don't even get that. In television, we don't even get that.
But, not to argue, because I think you agree with this, sometimes the queens on RuPaul's Drag Race are the stereotype, like...
Yeah.
RuPaul, for example, always has Charo on the show. And Charo, she's like, she is so talented. Like, I have seen her on TV play her guitar.
Have you ever seen her live?
No. And she was at the fucking Riviera before it closed. She had a residency there, and I never went to fucking see her.
Big mistake. We should have gone.
I know.
But yeah.
But she said that in an interview. She said, you know, if they want to pay me the money, I'll show up and be the clown. She's like, but if they don't want to pay me what I want, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do what I want. So
like the Jose Feliciano.
Oh yes, she is amazing. Amazing.
That's incredible.
But usually she gets paid to be the clown.
But then in that case, RuPaul likes that clown side of Latino sometimes.
Yeah, and that's what's happened in the show. Is like, for example, this season, Cynthia Lee Fontaine
with the whole cuckoo thing.
Uh-huh. Hola, mis amores. Like, she's just, like, total character. And everybody...
La cuatro.
Oh, my God. She is, like, the la cuatro.
She is.
She's, like, a mix of, like, Talia and la cuatro.
Imagínate. El horror.
No, oh not God. Talia. That's
no,
not right.
She's awesome. But, yeah, like, she plays this classy lady, but then she opens her mouth... And oh my God, it's just but that's what audiences that are not familiar with Latin America, that's what they imagine. That's what they want to see. Which it's crazy. I mean that we are in 2016 and shit has not changed at all in many instances for Latinos in popular culture. And one of the most radical shows out there, being RuPaul, it's playing in somehow, even though there's a lot of representation, it still plays with some of the stereotypes. Which, yeah. I don't know, it blows my mind. But I don't know, what do you think? Like, do you think he's at fault or...
No, I think what's more powerful, maybe in a way, is like, for example, Bianca Del Rio won her season, right? She won season 6, and she's a Latina. I mean, she's a New York queen or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we didn't, she doesn't really talk about that a lot.
And she doesn't play with those stereotypes.
She's the New Yorker. She's a drag queen.
Correct.
And Adore Delano, I mean, she does her...
Her Chola
character.
You too.
What is it? Baby Angel? Baby?
I don't know, but so funny.
Oh my gosh.
What did she say about Cholula and my cup of noodles?
She has a cooking show on YouTube. She did a cooking show, and she made top ramen with Cholula in it. That was her recipe.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. Or like Delta Work, right? There's these Latinos that are just American, right? They're part of the culture, but they don't like outwardly identify as that. But I also wonder if the show didn't highlight that because they weren't stereotypically Mexican, or
they're not
Latina.
Charo enough.
They weren't Charo enough, so they're like, oh no, let's make Delta the bitch, like. Let's make the young, unexperienced one.
Correct.
Who didn't use a corset until halfway through the season. You know, like, let's.
Yes.
So maybe
and you
that's
know what's,
it.
And also, I wondered how much of that fault is it's in the whole entire community, not just necessarily within the show, because there's so many times that. That this whole thing is played off by the drug community. I'm thinking of season one, Bibi Zahara. Like, she is self-proclaimed.
Bibi Zahara. Yeah.
She's the one who won, right?
Yes.
Okay. She is this exotic African dream that it's so problematic in itself. It's like this big safari thing that's played off. So all the fantasies about Africa, she plays with them. So from season one, so the winner of season one is already this big fantasy. So the question is, you know a little bit more than me.
Yeah.
Is that just part of what the drug community is expecting, or television and RuPaul and the producer are at fault for playing with those stereotypes?
Right. And are they at fault? I don't know.
Because, I mean, drugs supposed to be a fantasy, right? Supposed to be this hyper everything. Hyper illusion about femininity.
Yeah.
Hyper illusion about a lot of things, about gender. I mean, a lot of things. So I wonder with that territory comes a hyper illusion about the other. Because that's what they are represented. A hyper illusion about Africa. A hyper illusion about the Puerto Riqueño and the Mexicano, etc., etc. So,
you know, it's hard because as a producer, you have to think about what's going to make good TV, and not to say anything bad about the audience who's watching this show, but you know, they don't want. There's already a lot of issues that they're dealing with, so complicating that with more issues on top of it, like highlighting issues of race, maybe. Maybe it's like the thing we don't even want to think about doing this, right?
That's
it. I mean, I'm not saying that it would be actually. I'm saying it would be. I think it would be cool if that was something they actually talked about on the show.
Yes, correct.
I mean, Kim Chi kind of brought it up this season when she did her political ad. Remember, she's like, "No fats, no Asians, or whatever."
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Which is another, like, the Asian presence in RuPaul has been very minimal too. That's another thing. But that's very interesting what you said, because the reason why I got into the show, I came back to the show, is when I was in grad school.
Yeah.
So all the issues we talked about in my race and gender class, in my colonial classes, all of this class I was taking, I saw them in like one challenge. Like, all of them will be in one challenge of RuPaul.
Excuse me? What are you talking about?
Like for example, the challenge about the masculine sport ladies that had to be transformed into hyper feminine drag queens by men.
Yeah.
That fucked me up for a second. I was like, wait a second. What's happening?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's reversing all the roles and all of our ideas about gender into this product that I've never seen before. And I remember joking with my friends. I said, the day that I get to teach a class on race or gender, I'm just going to show episodes of RuPaul. That's what I told them. I remember thinking, also talking with other friends, said, well, it's very interesting that there's cliques that form in the show. And yeah, a lot of them are based on geography, like the New York girls or the Chicago girls, uh-huh, or they're based on race. And with that comes another set of problems that, yeah, even though they don't highlight, you see them in the show. So in part, I admire the show for that, because there's so many different layers of about identity for Latinos and white people and black people that is super complicated that you see them in the show. But at the same time, there's still these problems with that are undeniable, you know?
Yeah. I think something that's happening now and people are more conscious of in the drag community, mm-hmm, is the difference between a female illusionist and a performer, right? A drag queen, mm-hmm, who is actually not only dressing up, a man dressing up as a woman, mm-hmm, but is also using that platform to make a political statement.
Correct.
So queens like, you know, Bob the Drag Queen, for example, are some of the most, Bianca, even though Sharon Needles is crazy, she's very punk rock, right? She's talking about stuff that nobody, she's offensive, right? Yeah. And so I always think it's funny when there's the queens that are just all about being fishy, and I don't like using that term because I actually think it's very problematic and very gross.
Yeah.
But, you know,
feminine.
The ones that are that look like women, right? They take pride in looking like women, and they think that drag is all about that. Mm-hmm. But you know, you look at famous drag queens. Some of the most famous drag queens don't look like ladies.
No,
like Lady Bunny, like Dame Edna.
Because they drag queens to me occupied this liminal space in reality. It's very strange.
Joey Arias, he just looks crazy. Just ambiguous. Like you don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter. But that's the interesting thing about drag queens, that they occupy a different space, like a different sense of reality that supposed to challenge a lot of ideas, which RuPaul talks about how drag queens supposed to be this political statement, as you're talking about. And in that manner, I told you to remind me, but I remember now. That was the way that, for example, gender functioned in Mexico in the colonial period. It was, mm-hmm, either you're male or female, and that's it. And the only way that you could get away from that spectrum will be being a nun. Because you were not considered male, and you were not considered female. It was always like this middle liminal space. And with that, you had more rights.
Because there was no sexuality.
Less rights. Correct.
Because you're a nun. So
it's like a third nun-gendered, basically.
Whoa.
Yes. And people like Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz were allowed to write things against men because of that reason, because they're the third non-gendered in the colonial period. But other than that, I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, and I'm sure there's more studies when it comes to the queer theory in the colonial period, and I'm sure there's a lot more examples that I'm completely omitting. But prominent examples about in society, like, that was it. That was the nuns. And then you also had a level of performance, because it was all about being bathed in flowers and those portraits that were very famous in the 17th and 18th century. It's about showing ideas about the purity of your non-gender through the flowers, you know, the crowns that would be, mm-hmm, filled with those flowers as well. So I don't know, this is one point that my advisor brought up to me. He said, it's about that. It's like a drag queen is, think about nuns as drag queens. And that's when it really started making sense and being very attractive about this whole thing. But it's interesting that you have somebody like Derek Barry, who just wants to look like Britney Spears, and then you have somebody like Bob Queen, who's like a lot more Bob...
The drag queen.
Bob the drag queen. That is more about this idea that I have, or that I want to see in my drag queens, you know?
Yeah.
Oof, it's so interesting, because there's so many layers that people just don't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different layers.
So, yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race, I think it's a very successful show and a very important show.
Yes.
And I actually know straight guys that love the show. Like, it's
it's become this thing that, like, straight women absolutely love it. Sure. Well. Yeah.
Well, sure. It's you know, usually you're like straight women and gay men, they love the show. But it's funny because as soon as somebody finds out that I like drag queens, it slowly comes out. They're like, oh, are you watching this season?
Yes.
What did you think about Naomi Smalls' performance? Like, okay, girl, let's talk about it. Oh my I know God. You want to talk about it. It's fine. Oh, it's just because my my girlfriend watches it, you know, and I'm sitting there. I'm waiting for the Xbox. You know, so, yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
One more queen that we need to talk about.
Yes.
Before, I don't know how much time we have, but before we end, is Chi-Chi. Because we're talking about...
Chi-Chi Devane?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Chi-Chi Devane in this season. It's also a very interesting character. I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because we're talking about the exotic idea of African Bibi Sahara. The exotic idea about the Caribbean through all these Puerto Rican queens. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, of course.
Some of them.
Mexico and other parts. But now is because of Beyonce's video Formation and the new album. It's about the South. Like, all of a sudden being this hood personality from the South, it's in.
It's totally in, you're
and
right.
And all of a sudden, Chi-Chi Devane just fits all of those categories, and they're playing with that, and they're highlighting that. Do you notice when it comes to people's teeth?
Well, I see what you're saying.
They haven't highlighted the fact of her of how she talks, and other queens in other episodes.
I think you're reaching a little, but I know what you mean. Because this show was filmed pre-Lemonade.
Correct.
So...
But it's already starting.
And RuPaul, you know, RuPaul was in Atlanta before he went to New York and all that, so mm-hmm. he loves the South also.
But I've never seen that in the show before.
You don't remember Nicole Paige Brooks? You don't remember Stacey Lane Matthews?
But
there's always
even
been
with other queens,
Shangela,
that have
Shangela Laquifa Wadley.
Oh, that's true.
Like, always even Alyssa Edwards.
I don't know. She's just from Texas. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong because
you're looking at. Now it's a post-Lemonade world.
Yes.
So you're looking at everything...
differently.
You're looking at everything through the Lemonade glass.
That's right.
Yeah, but you're right. Okay.
Because in some queens, they always stress the fact that they don't need to... How do you call it? Like this, like the accent from different parts of the states. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. They told her to just stop it. You know what I mean? Like, not to make it that hot. And with Chi-Chi this season, I think they mentioned it once or not even once.
Yeah.
And then that's it. So it's almost like it's been celebrated more this season than others. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Not that it's never been part of RuPaul before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just interesting on the way that it works in the context of everything else that is happening, you know? So I don't know. I'm not going to stop watching. I'm going to continue watching. And if it's bringing issues on TV or outside of TV that is making me talk about it with, like, you and other friends, I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's a great show, and I really enjoy it. And I'm going to keep watching it.
We need more Latinas.
We need more Latinas.
Yes, por favor.
Yes, absolutely.
Mexicanas, centroamericanas, hondureñas, brasileñas, todo. We need a little bit more of that. Oh. Man, if it was RuPaul's Drag Race Mexico, I will die.
Jesus.
Dude.
Christ.
And have the lip sync with music of Yuri.
Yuri!
Con el apagón. No.
Every time I've seen a drag queen in Mexico, they always do Yuri.
even though Yuri just came out supporting this Christian anti-gay movie.
Of course she did.
I mean, she said that she doesn't
she
support
needs the money.
It, but ugh. She relies on us. She relies on us. And she never acknowledges that because now she's all this... Ay, me cae tan gorda ya. But anyway, still, I want to see a show with Yuri and Daniela Romo and oof, me muero.
I have a question for you.
Sí.
If you were a drag queen,
Mi nombre.
What would your drag queen name be?
Ay, no le he pensado, güey.
Come on. Mm. All these years?
All these years. Don't they say that it's like... like first street you live in and your pet or something.
Yeah,
like
what
that.
Is it?
It's really...
Say it.
Topo San Marcos.
Oh, shit!
That's really bad.
That's really good.
Topo San Marcos. It sounds so baroque. I guess it's...
You know what it should be, though?
Give it to me.
Tampico. Tampico San Marcos.
Tampico San
From the Marcos. House of San Marcos.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God. Tammy Pico.
Tammy Pico.
Tammy Perfect. Pico.
That's good.
Tammy Pico San Marcos.
So my new drag name is Tammy Pico San Marcos. It's stupid. I love it. Well, tell me yours.
I'm not going to tell you mine because I...
Please.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you a fake one, not my real one.
Okay.
Because if I tell you my real name,
somebody's gonna steal it.
And I actually am thinking about doing a performance as this character, so I don't wanna. If you say things out loud, shut your mouth. Let me finish talking. Sometimes if you say things out loud, your brain kind of like registers it as like, oh, you've already done that because you talked about it with somebody.
So you don't want to talk.
I don't want to talk about it with anyone, okay. Not even you.
Dude, we already talked about it, so it's okay.
I know, but not again.
Okay.
Until it happens, okay? But I'm thinking about my identity, right? I'm a Latino American, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
From the West Coast,
see?
Right? So the first thing I think of is Doritos.
Ah.
But not just any Doritos. Cool Ranch Doritos, right? So my drag name would be Dorita Cool Ranch.
Oof.
Isn't that good?
Dorita.
That's really dumb.
Dorita.
Tostiloca.
That's funny.
Tostiloca would be good.
But that's more like a pet name. Like, Tostiloca, vente para acá.
No.
Yes. Like, la Tostiloca me volvió a morder.
You know that's why Charo says Cuchi Cuchi?
Porque se llama su perro.
No, porque el perro se llamaba Cuchillo when she was little.
Because
he had really sharp teeth.
So they call her Cuchi Cuchi.
So she would do a dance and say, Cuchi 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 Cuchi. And that's how she got her tagline.
Fíjate.
Isn't that crazy? Because of a dog. Interesting. Very interesting.
The more you know.
Do, 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 do.
Anyway, this is awesome, I guess. I wish we could talk about...
RuPaul. I could talk about it for
we
another.
We should come back to it.
Talk about it for another 2 hours. I'm sure we'll talk about it again.
Yes,
at some
we
point.
Should come back to it and maybe show other ideas. But I think it's interesting and all of these aspects about the show that even though they don't tell you exactly that's what they're saying, that's what they're saying. And
yeah.
Oh, like my friend Paco says, RuPaul es super inteligente, super inteligente.
Eres grande, RuPaul. Eres grande. Oh my gosh. Well, on the topic of RuPaul, I'd like to give some recommendations. And I think I'm going to give some... I listen to a lot of podcasts all day long. I am an artist, so I spend a lot of time in the studio. And one of my favorites is actually RuPaul's podcast called What's the Tea with Michelle Visage.
So good.
Really good. She mostly interviews her judges that are on the show. I can tell that she just like interviews them after they do the show or before.
I noticed that too.
But she also interviews some of the drag queens. She's a really good interview with Bianca. One of my favorites was she interviewed Leah Remini. She's so funny.
They're good.
Michelle and Leah Remini are really good friends. Vivica A. Fox was on there recently.
She's still up.
Yeah, she was really funny. That was one of the latest ones. And then another one that I used to listen to all the time was this show called Feast of Fun. Is called Feast of Fun with Fausto Fernos and Mark Filion. But I stopped listening to it. Because some of the shit they say is very...
Pena ajena,
right?
Yeah.
It's kind of problematic, but it's fun when they interview drag queens. They'll interview drag queens once in a while.
And plus, they bring really interesting drag queens, too, that I've never in my life heard
of. So before Drag Race, that's how I knew about Trixie Mattel, Bob the Drag Queen.
Kimchi.
They
talk about Kimchi.
Yeah, they're always talking about them on the show.
Because they're from Chicago.
Yes.
Like those Chicago Queens.
And, well, Bob is from New York, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And old school, they're friends with Peaches Christ. She lives in San Francisco. and Jackie Beat, who I got to meet a couple years ago. Jackie Beat, she's in L.A. She's amazing. So I sent you the interview they did with Lola Van Miramar. Mm-hmm. She's an academic who is also a drag queen.
She's the academic queen. She's
amazing.
Me muero.
So there's some really...
Let's call it right now.
Yeah. There's some really awesome interviews if you search through that show. But, yeah. Do you have any... Have you read anything interesting lately on the internet?
There's one more. The one where they review the episodes of RuPaul. I forgot the name of that.
Oh, yeah. After Buzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one, I like it.
Do you like it? I don't listen to it anymore, but yeah.
I've listened to it a couple of times, and I'm entertained. So, because it really... They bring it back into the history of the show. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's a little too much RuPaul, but still, it's a good show. I will like it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening today. If you have any questions, want to make any comments, let us know at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can go to our website, latinoswholunch.com, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Latinos Who Lunch, and I am Fabi Fav at Fabi Fav on all media platforms,
and this is Babelito on Instagram solamente for now.
Instagram, AOL Instant Messenger, like what the fuck are you still using, bitch?
And thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.